Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is a Friday now. It is the 16th of May. More than half of Baltina is over, but there's at least a week more of full summer to enjoy. Even though it's technically not summer, but it just feels like a season of mellow midges and toes on show. But it's actually quite lovely to have out there. Very good for the matches as well happening over the weekend and for the outdoorsness that you'll be involving yourselves as ness in. Where's your head today? Inform us in the usual way. The WhatsApp is open now, 087 032 32 32. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Yes, now Ireland out of Eurovision again. So we'll be chatting to Marty later on this morning. You see, we had it too good there for a while. We were used to Bambi Thug last year getting us into the final. That was the first one since 2018. That was our worst run of 6 years without getting to the final. I hope it doesn't begin again. But we've made it 8 times in the 20 years since this whole semi-final shenanigans began. So we'll be talking to our man in Basel, Marty Whelan, who was having a bit of crack. I'd hear him during the voting saying that he was sweating through his trousers at one stage, but it wasn't to be. No, neither was it for the milkshake man. So we'll chat about that. 51551. And also our visiting critic, as it is Friday, has gone bird watching out and about at dawn to view the chirping lovelies of this fine country of ours with Birdwatch Ireland. And a man who's more prone to glittering up late at night backstage at Dancing with the Stars, James Patrice, will be joining us, also known as Malahide Woman. We got him out of bed at sunrise and he was away with the birds, as he longs and loves to be. So there you go. That reminds me actually of an article this week that tells us Ireland's long-lost cranes are thriving again, which is proof, basically, that when you leave nature alone, it knows how to heal itself. Our common cranes, a bird extinct in Ireland since the 16th century, is the striking example of this. In 2019, basically, they got a pair. A pair began nesting on these rehabilitated Midlands bog, basically. It had been used for industrial peat mining, but no longer. And though they tried initially at breeding, the perseverance of the pair paid off in 2022 with the successful rearing of a chick, and that was the first in centuries. So the bogs, if you leave them to regenerate naturally after all the peat extraction has finished, they're ideal habitats of wet woodlands, reed beds for cranes. There are challenges still ahead, though. While Borden Mona overlooks the kind of lands and supports the biodiversity efforts, balancing that kind of conservation with the renewable energy projects that they must do, like the solar farms, makes things kind of complex. Basically, though, if we leave the cranes to themselves, they'll do very well. There's the kind of that balance. And there's a row as well brewing between the Minister for Forests, Michael Healy-Rae, and the Green Party. He says, Michael Healy-Rae, that is, that farmers should be encouraged to plant trees on peatlands. He thinks that's the solution, get more trees out that way. And the Green leader and sole TD now, Roderick O'Gorman, saying, no, this is outrageous. We've been spent years trying to restore all these peat wetlands, and planting trees on them would destroy it. And so he's demanding to know if this is now government policy or is it kite flying from the junior minister of a day. So that row will continue on in that direction, no doubt. Now, to America. News analysis lately has kind of shown that Donald Trump has been mentioning Joe Biden nearly every day since his second term began. But he doesn't appear to be the only one who's just looking back. The Democrats, who are fairly headless, sort of broken, beaten and leaderless, they only seem to be concerned with looking back, kind of like Irish people cry singing at 4 o'clock in the morning after a wedding. All this week, the Democrats have dug into this new book about the demise of Biden and the fortunes of the party. It's not even out till next week, but like a lot of American political books, you don't have to bother ever reading it because the whole thing is parsed through and nutri-bulleted for you in the press. Original Sin, it's called, by CNN anchor Jake Tapper, and there's another journalist, Alex Thompson, as well. It reveals the full extent of Biden's physical and cognitive decline from about 2023 onwards, at least. The original Sin they're referring to is April 2023, when Joe Biden announces his intention to run for a second term after promising to be just a bridge for the next generation in 2020 when he defeated Trump. He was already 80 at this stage, and this book reveals he had significant spinal arthritis and mobility issues that his handlers feared would soon require a wheelchair, and certainly if he won a second term. This was all covered up, the book alleges, as the White House publicly downplayed these concerns and said everyone's wrong and exaggerating as he fell over and so on. Even more concerning was the kind of lack of any cognitive assessment, despite the fact that we could see him making all these visible gaffes, his memory lapses, strange behaviour and slurred sentences and so on. That alarmed everybody. His every move was tightly controlled by a close-knit group of advisors and family members that were dubbed and known as the Politburo. And this is a group of long-time aides. Mike Donlan is always mentioned. He was with Biden since 1981. And Steve Ricchetti was quite new. And Jill Biden's own team, they basically are accused in the book of orchestrating a whole effort to shield Biden's deteriorating condition from the public. And to protect their own interests, basically, Donlan wanted Biden to run again because he was charging $4 million for the 7 months of work on the campaign. And both he and Ricchetti also had family members with jobs in the administration that relied on Biden continuing. They didn't cooperate with the book, needless to say. And it also talks about how spin became like a cover-up, more so when the special counsel investigation into Biden's handling of classified documents by Robert Hur concluded that they couldn't charge him because he was a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. And that started an aggressive campaign by the White House to discredit Robert Hur, who was eventually vindicated but too late. But it also undermined the Department of Justice's independence. This is in the Biden administration. These are often things you accuse Trump of. So they kind of say his decision. Why did he want to run again anyway? It was a personal one. He believed that he could save Hunter Biden, keep his life together if he ran again. And he was in constant terror of losing a third child. So you can understand that, but you don't understand the cover-up and everything that Biden endured. He felt he could get through anything. There's also a fundraiser, which George Clooney, he meets Joe Biden for the umpteenth time in their careers. Joe Biden has not a clue who this man is before him. And George kind of repeats himself a few times. Still, poor old President Joe doesn't know who one of the most famous people on the planet is at all. And it's the night where George Clooney is actually hosting this gigantic fundraiser. And basically this makes George Clooney very sad. And he writes an op-ed calling for Biden to go later. This is only 2 weeks before the debate. And Biden then gets ready for the infamous Trump debate in Camp David. He sleeps for an entire day at the beginning. They bring in Steven Spielberg to help him prepare. He can barely stay awake. This seems to be typical. The book says that Biden could only really work from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on any day, even during international crises. And the people closest to him use all these techniques to disguise his decline. They instruct his writers to keep speeches brief so he doesn't have to spend too much time on his feet. They have him use short stairs to Air Force One after he famously fell 3 times trying to go up those stairs. And then when they're doing all these videos for social media and so on, they film him in slow motion to blur the reality of how slowly and stiffly he actually walked. Sometimes he was even flanked by members of his staff in case he fell over, or to disguise his kind of limp gait, as it were. And at the end of 2023, his staff were pushing the schedule to midday, that he could no longer even begin at 10 a.m. This is a president of the United States. And then, of course, the debate was a total disaster. His voice was hard to hear, even in the preparations. He kept asking for cough drops. His answers were all over the place. And he spent the whole afternoon dozing in his cabin at Camp David. It really is quite a sad portrayal, but astonishing that this is at the upper echelons of America. And the debate is co-hosted by the author of the book, Jake Tapper. The fallout, as we know, is huge. Trump is shot on his right ear. Biden is finally told to bow out. And this apparently is the scoop of the book, that Nancy Pelosi, never revealed before, sent him a note after a NATO summit where he introduced Zelensky as Putin and referred to Kamala Harris as Trump. Pelosi wrote, "A press conference showing mastery of foreign policy, a positive grassroots event in Detroit. This is not a reason to stay, but a way to go out on top." She puts it in an envelope, delivers it to the Oval Office, never hears from him again. And he leaves very, very bitterly indeed. And so when the Democrats today talk about cover up and chicanery in Trump's White House, this book would indicate that this time last year, Biden's White House was equally sus and opaque in its dealings. And that brings you nicely to Mr. Trump's very busy week. Well, he started off by fat shaming one of his friends while announcing an order to reduce medicine prices in the United States, which no previous administration, including his own first term, have managed to do, such as the interests of pharma, big pharma in America, on congressmen and women and senators on both sides of the house. He also said he would accept a $400 million jet from Qatar, which all of the American TV reports are calling Qatar. It's partly how they're pronouncing it. We've been saying it all wrong for all these years, except for the Qatar Airways. We know they say it right in the ad. Qatar, by the way, is a country that has funded Hamas, even though everyone in relation to this jet, including Trump's most trenchant MAGA supporters, are saying this is a bribe. It is not a free jet. It's not going to save us any money. They want something in return. And also, haven't they been arresting people essentially for being pro-Palestine on American college campuses? But Trump can accept a gift. He plans to accept the jet and then gift it to himself after he leaves office via his presidential library, which is a project conduit he can use to accept money because he's not running for any election. He can't accept donations, but he can for his library. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Nobody knows, it seems, what to do across the entire great democracy of America about this stuff, including the cryptocurrency, which is just extraordinary. You also had Trump's Deputy Chief of Staff, Stephen Miller. He said the administration is actively looking at the possibility of suspending the writ of habeas corpus for people who are in the country illegally. Basically, this is internment he's talking about, being able to hold people in detention without the prisoners having the right to contest their imprisonment in a court of law is habeas corpus. And it predates the Magna Carta, for God's sake. So that is just whether they're just trying to enrage people. We don't know. It's all very strange, isn't it? Well, there's some nice texts coming in about birds. Ian is in County Meath, in Dundary, County Meath, heard a woodpecker yesterday. Very good. Okay. There's people are outside hearing the birds and keeping it. Just like architects and bird watchers would tell you to look up all the time. There's a whole universe we're missing there. It's all the rage again, by the way. Creatine, big 20 years ago, but there was false information about hair loss and weight gain and so on, led to a bit of demise. It is back. Athletes and fitness influencers use creatine. What is it? Does it work? And there are many articles about this all week, but this one is all about, it's about creatine. If you don't know what it is, it's a compound the body can create naturally in the liver and the kidneys. We get it from eating red meat and fish and chicken and so on. It's kind of a quick fuel source for your muscles and helps regenerate bits that create all the energy, basically. So sorry to the vegans, you don't naturally consume any creatine at all, or not much of it anyway. It helps power short duration, high intensity activities like sprinting or lifting, and those requiring moderately sustained energy like tennis or hockey. But it doesn't do much, say the experts in this Guardian article, for prolonged slow burn energy like the kind you need to run a marathon, basically. Most people don't need creatine supplements for general health. That's the social media craze at the moment. That'll help you sleep, it'll fix your hair, your skin and everything. No, it doesn't. If you're doing resistance training, it will help your muscles work harder for longer. Resistance training being all the weights and the bands and things you use and push-ups, that sort of thing. In healthy adults, creatine is considered safe even for long-term use. It's one of the most researched supplements available, which is reassuring. But of course, there are crazes online, stupid ones, such as loading, which is where and people are taking higher doses, 25 or 30 grams a day to load for the gym. You get bloating and stomach pain and things like that from that. There's also something called dry scooping, which is happening online, where influencer stunts people eating straight creatine straight from the tin. It's a powder, and obviously the powder inhalation and risk of choking is very high. Don't do that. Does creatine actually help build muscle? The short answer, not as much as the hype suggests. We'll take the short answer. There isn't a lot of research on women using it, but creatine is associated with athletes looking for an edge, but it also helps older adults experiencing muscle loss. Women experience a lot of muscle mass and strength loss after menopause, so it probably does help, although it was unpopular with women years ago because of the water retention aspects, and it makes you look a little bit bloated and heavy maybe for the first 2 weeks before you turn into muscle if you keep on your training and so on. It's good for vegetarian and vegans because they don't get the natural input of creatine. And if you are interested in starting creatine, good advice here. Talk to your doctor beforehand, because not enough people are doing that. It's not good, basically, for those with bipolar issues or kidney problems as well. This is a good one because obviously creatine, one of the crazes and the reason it's so massive is it's used a lot by adolescent kids, especially young boys. Is it safe for young people? Creatine itself is generally safe for adults, but medical organisations all across the world recommend against creatine for those under the 18 due to the unknown long-term effects. There isn't enough research on it, basically, but there are generally no age restrictions anywhere on who can buy creatine. And 26% of adolescent boys in Britain say they've taken creatine at some point. I'd imagine it's the same over here. Those who use creatine, especially young men and boys, are more likely to develop muscle dysmorphia, which is the obsessive drive for size and for muscles. And that leads to a psychological fallout and how you look and concerns and so on. And it wrecks your head. Is it expensive, by the way? I was looking up, 500 grams of a well-known brand of creatine will cost you €40. It would last a month. But make sure you read the label and talk to your GP, and don't produce your toes at the gym. You know, the basic rules. Sport now. Look at Rory McIlroy. He's not looking happy with himself. The front page of this newspaper. Masters hero, down to earth. And there's an extraordinary... He had an extraordinary bad. Way off the pace. People talking about maybe he won't even make the cut. I think he only reached the fairway twice in his whole first round. Didn't talk to the press. And yet, this was the conversation we had on the Friday of the Masters that he won, where he stormed off angry with himself, didn't talk to the media. And sure, he won the damn thing by Sunday evening. Over the weekend, there's just massive amounts of GAA as part of the campaign to pack as much football and hurling, so you only get to see a fraction of it in this tiny season. The football groups begin, where they're going to play, is it 36 matches, I think, to knock out four teams, something like that. Of course, the big one is Louth, Leinster champions versus Monaghan in Newbridge. Bit of a downer, that one, but the weather will be beautiful. The main match, though, on the telly, they say, is Galway-Dublin. That's tomorrow night, 4 o'clock, GA plus only. But the Saturday game around 10 o'clock on RT will tell you everything that's happened in the day. How are they going to do that? And then Sunday is all about the hurling. It's Kilkenny-Dublin at 3 o'clock on GA plus. Oh, and Limerick-Cork is at 4 on RTE. Right. Scheduling is not great, is it?